Morning to everyone. It is a blessing to be here today. Glad everybody had the opportunity to join us. I can't think of a better place to be than to gather here to worship God on the first day of the week. We had a great trip to Colorado. Drew and Amanda do an amazing job with our university students. Everything went well on our trip. Jeff and Melissa Thompson are great servants in that ministry. Just appreciate all of them for the work that they do within our university ministry. We have a great group of students, and we had a great trip to Colorado. On the way back from Colorado, I was listening to some radio DJs talking about the new year. They talked about how exciting it was to enter a new year and a new decade. Then one of the DJs said something that grabbed my attention. I mean, it just grabbed my mind and my thoughts, and I spent a lot of time thinking about what he said. He asked his listeners a question, and here was the question. Do you realize we are as close to 2050 as we are to 1990? When I heard that question, I thought, wow, it's kind of startling to think about that, that we're as close to 2050 as we are to 1990. When we look at our lives over the past 30 years, there's a lot of things that obviously have happened. And then we look at the next 30 years in anticipation. What's going to happen next? What's going to happen in my life? What's going to happen in our nation, within our families? Our minds just kind of go all over the place when we think about the next 30 years. But I came to this conclusion as I was thinking about that question. Whether we are looking at the last 30 years of our life, going back to 1990, or whether we are anticipating the next 30 years up to 2050, we will be blessed if we walk with Jesus. If we have lived the last 30 years of our life for Christ, what a blessing. What a joy to walk with our Savior hand in hand. And we look at these next years. There's not a better hand to take than the hand of our Lord. I have regrets in my life. I know all of us do. We do things that we wish we hadn't done. But I've never regretted a day that I've lived for Jesus. And as we look forward to this year, as we look forward to the days that are ahead, I promise you, every day that you live for Jesus, you'll be blessed. It'll be worth it. Now, David reveals to us what it looks like to walk hand in hand with God. In Psalm 23, David reveals to us a beautiful picture that just continually unfolds in front of our eyes, showing us what's possible for us in our life. And I can't think of a better way to start a new year than by examining these words. The Lord is my shepherd, David writes. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. In our series, we have found that the shepherd leads to quiet waters for rest and refreshment. We've also watched as the shepherd guided his sheep out into paths of struggle and stern testing. And we understand that once in a while it became necessary to lead through dangerous mountain passes where darkness or steep cliffs, sudden bends in the road made the going exceedingly hazardous. Cruel men and hungry beasts might lurk in hidden places to exact their toll from the flock. It was not always a pleasant journey for the shepherd and his sheep. There were times when everything was good, where they were able to rest, where they were right there at the streams of water, but there were other times when the journey was very perilous, dangerous. Fear, panic, pain, and even death might await the sheep in this journey. We know this for certain. They couldn't make their way alone. Alone, the sheep were helpless. Alone, the sheep were powerless. But with a powerful, courageous shepherd, they had a chance. They had hope that they could make that dangerous journey safely. Now, David, now remember, he's the one writing this. David, he could remember many times when he had dared to lead his sheep through some of these dangerous places. No doubt, David had led the sheep at times on some very difficult journeys. And he would lead his sheep safely through all of these obstacles, through all of the danger, into a place of safety, to a place where there was plenty, plenty of water, plenty of rest. David's skill and devotion as a shepherd, it had triumphed over a lot of obstacles, a lot of difficulties. And he had brought victory on many occasions to his sheep. So David, he was keenly aware of the tragic experiences that await sheep without a shepherd. When you look at Jesus' words in the Gospels, how many times did Jesus look out at the people and he felt compassion for them? And he described them in this way at times. They're like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd are in trouble. Sheep without a shepherd are not going to survive. Now David, he knew both sides of this relationship. He knew the plight of both the shepherd and the sheep, because he had been both. He was thankful for his shepherd who had delivered him through trying times. In all the narrow paths that were filled with danger, he had known the grip of the Father's hand. He had been freed from fear because of the presence of the one and the only one who gives victory. And it's David's words right here in Psalm 23, verse 4, that highlight some of these difficult journeys in David's life. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, not every journey is easy. Not everything we face in life is going to be a breeze to go through. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. Here's another translation. The ESV reads this way. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The word translated valley indicates a narrow, treacherous gorge. It might have a path through it. It might have steep cliffs on one side or on both. This phrase that has been the theme of many funeral addresses comes from a word that means shadow of death or deep darkness. This is its first appearance in the Bible. This word is the first time we find it right here in Psalm 23, verse 4. Now, when we look at this, we automatically take our minds to death itself. And it can certainly mean that. It can include the experience of death that we will all face. But it's not limited to that one event alone. The psalmist is not confining his thoughts to death, but rather seeks to describe any serious trying or testing that we'll face in life. Now, this is what makes this psalm so real, so personal, so important. As we move through life, we're going to encounter some experiences that are darker, more desperate, and more excruciating than the moment we call death. In fact, there are people right now in this audience who are going through some of these moments that are even more difficult than facing death itself. David pictures a heart-rending moment when danger, temptation, pain, anguish, or some tragic occurrence just overwhelms us. Think about David's trials for a moment. Consider all of the dangers that he faced in life, whether he was out protecting his sheep, taking on a lion, facing a bear, or whether he was fighting for Israel, going out there to take on Goliath. Count all of the battles that David encountered. Try and number all of the times that his life was at risk, whether it was out in the fields with his sheep or whether it was King Saul trying to kill him. David stared death in the face often. Now think about how he felt when his best friend Jonathan was killed. Some of us know what it's like to lose a best friend. Think about the emotions he encountered when his children turned against him. How did David feel when he lost a child? There are events in our life that are more excruciating than our own death. Sometimes moving forward with life is the most agonizing challenge we will ever face. Whether it's moving on after the loss of a spouse, moving on after the loss of a parent, moving on after the loss, God forbid, of a child. How can we stand up under these terrible times of testing? How can we survive without the shepherd guiding us through these narrow, danger-ridden paths? How can we possibly defend ourselves against the tempter, endure the pain, or live through the sorrow that we face? We may look at our situation and what we're going through, the loss that we're feeling, the temptation that we're facing, maybe the addiction that's right in front of us day after day, and we think, how can I possibly go on? How can I survive this? We know as sheep that the journey's not always easy. How do we keep going? Well, the answer is that the shepherd makes the difference. God always makes the difference. He always has, and he always will. Now, there's one phrase I don't want you to miss from Psalm 23, verse 4. There's so much right here in this one psalm. We think about the psalms as a collection. Take years to go through them and just study them and meditate on them. Even as we look at one individual psalm right here in Psalm 23, there is just so much packed into this psalm that if we're not careful, we'll miss important pieces of information that can be life transforming for us. There's something I don't want you to miss from Psalm 23, verse 4. We think of David and all the struggles he faced, all of the loss that he experienced, the dangers, staring death in the face, losing people that he loved. How did he survive life? Isn't that what we try to do at times? How can I just keep going? How can I survive today? How did he overcome his failures, his sin with Bathsheba? How did he rise above his broken hearts? God was with him. The shepherd was with David. After David talks about this dark valley, and did he ever have some? After he talks about passing through the valley of the shadow of death, what does he immediately say next? I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be fearful. Why? How could David do all that he did? How could he experience everything that he experienced and not be scared to death? Because God was close beside him. God is with us. David was speaking from experience. He had passed through trying times. He knew beyond words that his shepherd had always been at his fingertips. Now, David, he knew what life looked like in the care of his shepherd. He also knew what happened when he went out on his own. Now, David, he led the sheep, and he would lead them to water. He would lead them to rest. But David, in his own life, he was a sheep. And he understood what happened when he went out on his own. He understood what took place when the sheep drifted away from the shepherd, not only because of what he had experienced as a shepherd himself, but because of what he had lived. Because he was the sheep that strayed. He was the sheep that went out into the dangerous environment without the shepherd. He knew what happened when he went out by himself. The darkness, the danger, the beasts, the robbers, the unseen pits of destruction. When he walked with the shepherd, none of that could overcome him. These times described by David, they test the quality of the soul. Weak places are revealed. We learn how frail we are. We come face to face with our helplessness, our inadequacy. And we look up and discover the storm when it is darkest about us. And most of the time, we're scared to death. We're fearful. We're the apostles on the Sea of Galilee. The storm, it just comes rolling in out of nowhere. And we're overwhelmed. As we close, let me show you the difference the shepherd can make in our lives. On that day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Do you see the difference Jesus makes? Isn't it obvious? There are going to be storms in our lives. Some of us are in the middle of one right now. There are going to be dark valleys. That dark valley might be an illness that we're facing. It might be a financial burden. It might be struggles in relationships. It might be an addiction that we're trying to overcome. We are going to face storms in our life. It might be the loss of a loved one, the loss of a special friend. There are going to be valleys of the shadow of death itself. And I hear the apostles, they were in the middle of that. This storm, it just comes up on the Sea of Galilee. The water's just pouring into the boat. We read right here that the boat is filling up with water. The apostles are scared to death. They're desperate. Jesus, he's asleep on a cushion. And they go down and they're like, "Jesus, don't you care about what we're facing? Don't you care what I'm going through? Don't you care that our boat is filling up with water? Don't you care that it's about to sink? Don't you care that I'm about to die?" They're scared to death. They were fearful for their lives. And they do what many of us do when we face difficulties, when we go through some of these dark valleys. They cry out, "Jesus, God, don't you even care about me?" How many times have we cried those words to our Father? "Look at what I'm going through. Don't you care? Where are you? Where's my deliverance? Where's my rescue?" Jesus, he gets up. He rebukes the wind. Wow, he speaks to the wind. "Wind, simmer down." And the wind listened, and it ceased. And I love what we read next. There was a great calm. Even in the midst of the storm, we can find peace. Even in the midst of the loss that we feel when we lose a loved one, we can find a great calm. Every person will face what David describes here. We're going to walk through some dark valleys. Not every journey is going to lead us to peaceful waters. There are going to be some journeys that are going to be gut-wrenching. More than likely, we'll encounter some this year. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be fearful. Just as David wrote, the Lord is with us. He is always close. He is always near. If we can help you in any way this morning, I offer the help of the Lord. It's not the help of myself. I'm weak. I'm inadequate. But Jesus is just the opposite. The help of your Savior is available. If we can help you in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and sing together.